This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Excited to be here with Evangelist Joseph Ferrara. Brother Joseph, would you like to open us up in prayer, and could you also pray for Israel as we're getting started tonight for their protection?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe we're right in tune, and your specific timing tonight with this message. And Lord, there's a lot of bad teaching going out today, a lot of bad believing. But you're going to show us, Lord, in your word tonight, what the truth is. And you are truth. You said that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. And we are all saved by grace. We are born sinners. We have all been bitten by the snake, by the devil, through our parents, Adam and Eve, and down our generations. And we need a Savior, and there is only one. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Anointed One. We thank God that we have Jesus in us when we receive Him, and we are anointed as the sons of God, the children of God. I come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, and according to the prayer request that Shannon gave me, I pray for the earth tonight, since we do reach the north, the south, the east, and the west of this globe that we live on by technology that you've given man. And you did say in the word that in the last days knowledge would increase. And technology continues to increase. And now we pray for true repentance of people to repent of their sins and to come to Jesus Christ by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We pray tonight for the fire of God to be poured out all over the world, in every city, every state, every community, as we intercede that people will not be destroyed. And We pray by grace, believing. When we pray, we believe what we pray. And we believe that tonight, that you will do that, because there is nothing too hard for you. You answer prayer. We live in very troubled, perilous times. We call to you in our distress. There's many people calling to you in their distress. Their cries are going up from the earth. And I had an opportunity lately to minister a message. It goes like this. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and mourn with those that mourn. We are to rejoice with those that get blessed, and we are to rejoice with them, and we are to mourn with people that are mourning. And God comforts the mourning like no one can. He is the comforter, according to the book of Corinthians. He comforts those that mourn. Blessed are those that mourn. So you heard the groaning in the Old Testament from the Jews when they were in bondage, and you called Moses to deliver the people, and you gave Moses help to do that with Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and all kinds of men and women that helped the people of God. It's the same today of those that are involved doing the work of God. I pray for the anointing of them, your anointing upon them to do the work of God. The Bible says to pray for those to continue in the work even when we get weary, even when we get tired and weary, that we're to abound in the work of the Lord. I pray for those that are weary and tired, Lord, intercessors, prayer warriors, those that are praying for Israel at this time, for the peace of Jerusalem, which is not at peace right now, Lord God, with its enemies, Lord. I pray that the enemies will repent, that they will come to repentance of the moving of the Holy Spirit that's constantly telling them and convicting them. But, Lord, unfortunately, a lot of them have demons. They're demon-possessed. But if they can just recognize Jesus, Lord, like that man did, that was totally out of his mind, possessed by 2,000, 3,000 demons, if they could just hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit in their conscience, Lord, to what they're doing is wrong, Lord, or else things can happen like confusion, and then they'll kill one another like they did in battles past. We pray for the army of God to intercede tonight with this call. We pray that you put a fire of those under them to pray and intercede for Israel. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Netanyahu that you give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and everybody that's working with him, all the people on his board, people that are working with him together to do what they feel is the right thing to do, Lord, at this time. I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom and knowledge, and that you will show them, Lord, you are a man of war, Lord, and you defeated the enemies of Israel. And Lord, you do the miraculous, and you did it in the past, Lord, where you intervened for Israel when they were outnumbered when it looked like all hell broke loose on them and they had an chance. But supernaturally you moved, Lord. And I pray that tonight that you will supernaturally move on the soldiers, on the people of Israel, those that are hiding from the assaults of these missiles going on day and night. Iran raising its ugly head that's probably been behind all this all the time. And Lord, I pray for deep conviction on those that have helped them to do this in the United States of America. And I pray, Lord God, that the Bible says that everybody will turn against Israel. That is fulfillment of Scripture. What we are seeing right now is already written in the Word of God, that everybody will turn its back on Israel. Everybody will be an enemy of Israel. Fulfilling Scripture. What we hear, what we see in the papers, what we hear on the news is all written already and all being fulfilled. Supernatural wisdom, I pray. I pray for your angels, Lord, that you will send your angels from heaven in the battlefield, Lord, to protect those soldiers on the battlefield, to protect Israel. We put the blood of Jesus over them, Lord, as they fight for what they believe is the right thing to do after they were attacked and many of their people died, slaughtered, Lord, by terrorists, Lord, cutting heads off of babies and women, children, men. Lord, I pray for your will to be done, Lord. They need you, Lord. They need you. Save those that are going to be saved, that are crying out on you, Lord, in Palestine, in Gaza, and all those that truly want you, Lord. I pray that they cry out to you, O Lord, that they will be saved and come to Christ through it all. Through it all, Lord. I pray for your army, Lord, of intercessors. I pray for the anointing on them, the strength as they pray with you. We want your prayers on how you want us to pray, Lord, in this situation that they're in. We do pray that you give them more leaders, that they need more to lead, Lord, more leaders to lead in this battle, Lord, and give them fresh wisdom on how to do it, Lord, how to do it like you did it. You had a plan. You exercised your plan, Lord, and then they wouldn't listen to you, Lord, and then things had to change when you judged Pharaoh, when you judged Pharaoh. Father, you're the God of all the earth, and you have these kings in the palm of your hand. You know how to turn their heart. You're the God of the nations. Lord, raise up the people that you need to raise up right now, that you're calling upon, Lord, right now. Raise them up, Father, to pray, to fast. Father God, to receive your strength and your anointing. Lord, as we prayer warriors, we do not forget Israel. We pray tonight for an outpouring of your Spirit upon this message tonight as we read it clearly what it says in the Bible and what the Bible is. What the Bible is. We pray, Lord, for your anointing on the sick and the afflicted tonight, that the Holy Spirit will move upon them and bring healing. Just by listening to the Word of God, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for the orphans, Lord, that you will rain down, and you will bring help for the orphans all over the world, that you will send volunteers, you will send people to work with them, to grow in the admonition of the Lord in orphanages and different places. As they grow up with the Bible, Lord, be many Christian youths being raised up in this next generation. And we also pray for the widows of the church, that they will be helped, Lord, at this time. I pray for all of the monies and all the food and all the clothing and everything that's being sent to Israel, Lord, that they will receive and they will get what they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Tonight, I'm going in and I'm going to say a scripture that you've all heard in the past, but I just want to make it clear again tonight to those that might have turned in or tuned in and never heard this before. Never heard this scripture before. It says it very plain in the book of Timothy. Let's turn to the book of Timothy. And let's look right now. The Bible is God's mind. And this is his revelation, knowledge that he's given to man. And that's what we use to live our lives as Christians. And we believe it by faith. We believe it by faith in Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And we believe what the Bible is. And all of you out there tonight might not know some of these scriptures. And you're not aware of what the Bible truly is. And we see that in Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is the right way. The Bible is God's word. It is the mind of God, and this is the only thing that God looks at. Everything else is not of God. And there's only one God, and in God there's three persons. There's the Father, there's the Son, Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's the Godhead, and that's the way they think. They think like this book that they made. They made this book by moving on men and women, and people that took care of it, and they finally got where they could make it a book with paragraphs and sentences and all that, different chapters, and all these writers, these prophets and kings, all these writers that wrote this book, the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, some gave their lives, gave their blood for this word that we have today. And so when you're looking for the truth and you're really honest and you want the truth, you have to believe this, because this is the only way. This is the only way. The Quran is not God's word. There's only one God. That's Jesus Christ. Virgin Mary is not God. We're not to worship the Virgin Mary. There's only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. So, if you need to know the truth, it says the truth shall make you free. You will be free. And you will know the truth, and nobody can tell you a lie. Because when you have Jesus, you have an anointing that no man deceive you. So the devil can't deceive you, demons can't deceive you, false teachers can't deceive you. And because you have an anointing, it says in the epistles, of John, that the man of God may be perfect. So I'm doing a perfect, thoroughly furnished, good work tonight. I work with God. I work with God. I don't work by my own understanding. I work by what I feel God is telling me to say tonight. And I'll tell you, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle going his way, because we're not to lean to our own understanding. It says, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So that goes in preaching and teaching also. That goes in the gifts of the Spirit. That goes in the whole book. We're to pray about all things and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that controls the church. If ye let him. If we let him, he's the one that leads the church when we acknowledge him. So, let's start off tonight in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, God is making a point. And a lot of people need to hear this tonight. This is on time, never late. God is always on time. And this is the word of the Lord tonight. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 16, his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So they were trying to stop the move of God, trying to stop the apostles from preaching and praying for people in the name of Jesus. And this man, this lame man, got healed. And he was really excited, jumping around. And the religious leaders of the day were against the move of God after Jesus died, rose again from the dead, went to heaven. They didn't want his name to be preached anymore, and that's the way it is today in Jerusalem. You know, you can't preach the name of Jesus. You can't do evangelism. They'll put you in jail. It's against the law. So they got their way. But now, it goes on to say, repent, Peter says, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restitution of all things. God will restore all things. God is restoring all things right now. God is getting rid of all the wickedness on the earth. Because all things are going to be made new. God desires men to be saved, not want to perish. But if man does not repent, he cannot be saved. One of the conditions of salvation is to repent of our sins. So Moses agreed with that. It says in verse 22, Acts 3, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet talking about Jesus Christ shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindness and all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Iniquities. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, God was telling them to repent, and that this is what would happen. God's ancient program concerning his kingdom is unchanged. In other words, God has not changed to the promises he's made to Israel in the past. This program awaits the return of Christ. This will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Israel will share in it. So if we want to look at scriptures, you can look at Zechariah 13:8, Zechariah 14:4, Romans 11:24 to 26, and Revelation 7:3 to 10. So many of you need to hear this tonight, that God is prophesying in the Old Testament, thousands of years before it's going to happen, that the promises he made to Israel, he has not forgotten. He has not forgotten Israel, and those that receive him as Savior and Lord will be saved. Will be saved. Because when he comes, many things have to happen. So, number one, what does it mean to repent? Well, their king repented, King David. And you could read that in Psalm 51. If you go to Psalm 51, you will see a truly repented, humble man getting right before his God, which he had a very intimate relationship from a young boy with God Almighty. After Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone into Bathsheba, he saw her taking a shower, a bath, and he should have been out in battle, and he got into lust, and he took her and had intercourse with her. They had a baby. And then he killed her husband. He killed her husband, sent him on the front lines. He lied about it. He kept it in his heart until God sent the prophet and said, David, you're the man. Now, after considerable time, he gets before God and he changes his mind and he prays a prayer of contrition to the Lord for his sorrow of what he did to the Lord, what he did to other people, what he did to himself, what he did to Israel. I'm sure that was in his heart. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in sin, or iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, my mother was in sin, I became part, and I became sin, and I committed sin. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. I want truth in my heart. In other words, I want to change from the inside. And in the heart, hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom, giving me the wisdom to do the right thing. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. His sins have broken him, in so far as he felt it in his bones. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sin changes our attitude. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Broken over my sins, that my sins have broken me, and they have humbled me to come before you as I hurt you, God. In my relationship with you, I hurt you, I hurt your heart. And then he says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, which is the church. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Build my heart. Strengthen me. Build my heart. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. This is David, in the Old Testament, worship of God, making sacrifices of animals for the people's sins. He killed thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs before God for the sins of the people. Before this is going to happen, this promise we read tonight in the book of Acts, where the Jews are going to be restored and God's going to bless them in their land, they need to repent. And what needs to be preaching right now from the church is in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, which needs to be being preached from the church as we minister in this troubled world, this sick world. We live in very perilous times. We need to tell the people and preach to the people and warn the people of what's happening. And this is what's happening. This is what's happening. The book of Joel, chapter 2. Let me find it here. Just bear with me a minute. Zechariah. Malachi. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. This is what should be being preached right now. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Zion means my holy mountain, and the land defines Israel and Jerusalem as the scene of future events. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble refers to Israel, where the battle of Armageddon will take place. The phrase, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand, refers to the period in the future when the Messiah will interfere on behalf of his ancient people and deliver and restore them. Its details are predicted in the book of Revelation. So, as well as preachers should be preaching the sound of the alarm. What does that mean, the sound of the alarm? At the condition of the modern church? For these events of which Joel speaks are near at hand. This also means that the rapture of the church, which will precede these events, is very near. The rapture of the church, you can read that in Thessalonians, you can read that in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, refers to believers who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This concerns those who do not know the Lord, who will have no part in the first resurrection of life, and therefore no hope for heaven. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, the very foundation of Christianity is the death and resurrection of Christ. This is proof of life after death. The glorified state of all saints in that life, which incidentally will never end. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This refers to the rapture of the church, or the resurrection of all believers, with both phrases meaning the same thing, even as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. At death, the soul and the spirit of the child of God instantly goes to be with Jesus, Philippians 1:23, while the physical body goes back to dust. At the rapture, God will replace what was physical body with a glorified body united with the soul and the spirit. In fact, the soul and the spirit of each individual will accompany the Lord down close to this earth to be united with a glorified body, which would then make the believer whole. This is the doctrine of the rapture of the church, as the word of the Lord, which we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, all believers who are alive at the rapture shall not prevent them which are asleep. This refers to the fact that the living saints will not precede or go before the dead saints. For he himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with angels proclaiming, just like in Acts 1:11, with the voice of the archangel, refers to Michael, the only one referred to as such in Jude 9, with the trump of God. God will not necessarily blow this trumpet, but that it definitely does belong to him. Whoever does the signal, the blast, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the criteria for being ready for the rapture is to be in Christ, which means that all who are truly born again will definitely go in the rapture. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured together with them, the resurrected dead in the clouds, clouds of the saints, not clouds we are normally thinking of, to meet the Lord in the air. So, this is what the church should be preaching to the lost people and to the church, to be ready when he comes. Because he's coming when we don't think he's coming. We're to be ready. We are to be saints. We are to be living a holy life. This is preparation. This is preparation. And that's why it needs to be preached from every church. It needs to be preached on the highways and the byways, TV, radio, wherever communications, so the man of God can preach the word. This needs to be preached. We're getting closer and closer to end time events. Not only end time events, but the church will be there at Armageddon. Armageddon, chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, represents Christ functioning totally and completely in the realm of the Word of God, that with it he should smite the nations. This refers to all the nations that will join the Antichrist in his efforts to destroy Israel. It is the battle of Armageddon, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This refers to the fact that the Lord of glory will not allow or tolerate in any shape or form or fashion that which steals, kills, and destroys. This is the work of the devil. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This refers to the battle of Armageddon. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, proclaims the fact that there will be no doubt as who he actually is. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, proclaims the fact that faith believes what is written, even if the mind cannot comprehend what is written, and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls who fly in the midst of heaven. This denotes, as is obvious, supremacy over the creation. Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is symbolic, but it is spoken in the way to proclaim the magnitude of that coming time. You can read that in Ezekiel 39:2-12. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty ones, and the flesh of horses, and them who sit on them, and the flesh of them, both free and bond, both small and great. This proclaims the fact that the power of Almighty God doesn't blink at those on this earth who consider themselves to be great. The judgment will be identical for all. Ezekiel 39. And I saw the beast. John saw the Antichrist leading his mighty army. That is the man of sin mentioned by Paul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 refers to all the Antichrist could get to join him. It includes the kings of the east of Revelation 16:12, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the throne and against his army, refers to Christ and the great army of heaven, which is with him, as stated. This is the battle of Armageddon. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought miracles before him, refers to both of them falling in the battle of Armageddon, with which he deceived them who he had received the mark of the beast and them who worshipped his image, pertains to Satan's chief weapons, which is deception. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Thus is the destiny of the Antichrist and the false prophet and all who follow him. All who follow him. I hope to God that you don't follow the beast. I hope to God you don't get the mark of the Antichrist. I hope to God. I hope to God that this is a much for you to turn to Jesus and come to him, because we're getting closer and closer to these events happening. And the remnant was slain with the sword, him who sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. The Lord Jesus will speak the word in the battle of Armageddon. Whatever he speaks will take place. All the fowls will fill with their flesh. This proclaims the end of this conflict. The Antichrist and his hordes will announce to the world what they are going to do regarding Israel. But the end result will be buzzards gorging on their flesh. They will lose. The devil will lose. Satan will lose. All evil will lose. This is the last battle against good and evil. The last battle of Armageddon, right over there in Israel, right in Jezreel, right in Megiddo, They've had many, many battles there. Many, many battles. This will be the last one. And Jesus Christ will destroy the Antichrist and all that go with him. Follow Jesus. Do not follow the Antichrist. And all of you here tonight, God has already promised Israel that he will not forget them. And they have a place in the world and in eternity as they give their lives to Jesus, the Savior of the world. They're going to sign a contract with the Antichrist, believing that he is God. He will stand in the temple and proclaim great things, that he is God. But after 7 years, they will tear it up when they find out that he's the man of sin, that he's not the Messiah. And then they will be in totally lost, destroyed by Satan, coming against them. Half of Jerusalem will be destroyed. And just when they think they can't win, just when they think that everything is hopeless and they're going to be destroyed by the Antichrist, Jesus Christ comes and he intervenes and he destroys all nations that have come against Israel. All nations that are coming against Israel right now, you're going to be destroyed if you don't stop and repent before God. Just like I read in Psalm 51, a true repentance to God of what you're doing against Israel. And that goes for the United States. Every nation, every king, every president will be destroyed at Armageddon. There'll be no more evil. Evil will be wiped out. God is going to wipe out evil from the earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And all those Jews that received the Messiah that they pierced shall see him coming and will wail before him, and they will receive him as their Messiah. Finally in this great love story, they will receive their Messiah. Those that believe in Jesus, they have to come just like we Gentiles do. They have to receive Jesus just like the Gentiles. Here you see a very short but very striking scriptures that you can read in the Bible that will show you a little bit about the Battle of Armageddon. It goes into Revelation 16, different scriptures in Revelation, goes in the book of Daniel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and other scriptures in Isaiah. They all pertain, and other scriptures, to this great battle of Armageddon. But not any other battle is like Armageddon. There is only one Armageddon. And I pray that you're in heaven with the bride of Jesus Christ at the supper of the Lamb, that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you went up in the rapture with him, and that you came back in his army dressed in white, all the saints on white horses, which are spiritual horses, to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and watch him destroy evil, Satan, the false prophet, the image of the beast. They will be destroyed, thrown in hell for all eternity with all that follow him with the mark of the beast and all that rejected Jesus. You know, one man said, to another man, I'll make him an offer that he cannot refuse. There's a lot of men and women that do business in this world, and they know how to do business. They know how to bless people and make out good contracts for both of them, and they do business very well. But God has given us Jesus Christ, the greatest person, God himself, that you will ever meet. Because everything is in Christ. And that he left heaven, and he came here to earth, and he was mutilated on the cross. Because he wanted you to go to heaven. That's why he did it, for love. For he loved you so much, God, that his son took such punishment for our sins to save us. Not everybody's going to be saved. Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, it says. I don't know what better offer that God has given to man, but the covenant of Calvary, the cross, that Jesus said, remember me, remember me. I remember him tonight, what he did for me. You know that he died for you and your sins on the cross. There's an open door right now, and you can receive Jesus in these next few minutes. I'm just going to say a prayer. Just pray the prayer the best of your ability. If you want to miss all this suffering and torment and hell itself, then you could become a Christian and mean business with God and give your heart. God will give you a new heart. God will give you a new heart. Like David said, I want a new heart. I want new insides. I want the truth in my heart. Just say this prayer with me by faith. Faith means to believe. And believe what Jesus did for you on the cross. Let's pray. Just say this prayer the best of your ability. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe that I'm a sinner. I repent. I repent. I change my mind. I turn from my sins and I turn to Jesus, who is the righteous one, the innocent one that died for me and took my punishment upon him. Forgive me of all my sins, Jesus. I'm really sorry. I repent. I believe that you died for me, that you rose again from the dead. I believe you're sitting on the right hand of the Father. And I ask now that you cleanse me by your pure blood that was shed at Calvary. There's only one blood that has that power, and that is the blood of Calvary. The blood is new every day for us Christians to wash our sins away. And now, Lord, stand with me right now, my friends, as you say the sinner's prayer. Say this with me, Father, I stand before you right now, and I believe in Jesus and everything he did for me. I ask him to come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. If you have committed yourself to the Lord tonight, get yourself a Bible, pray and ask God to guide and lead you into a church where they're preaching the whole gospel. Rejoice now. This is the greatest moment of your life. This is Pastor Joe and Joanne. We love you. Until next time, have a great life in Christ. Remember, Jesus loves you. beyond our understanding. Amen.
Amen. Powerful word tonight. Brother Joseph, what would you like to title this for the archive?
Repent and be saved.
Oh, I love that. Okay, that's easy.
Repent Amen. And be saved.
I love it. Perfect title. Brother Joseph, okay. God richly bless you. We'll see you next time.
Okay, love you.
Love you too.
Love you, brother, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I love you. Friends, let's get Brother Michael Smith set up. Next program. We're going to refresh. Stand by.